Now, I heard a rumor that Pastor Brandon was married on 7-7 of 2007. And is that true? See Dad up there, yeah. So that's kind of cool to have that anniversary date, 7-7-07. So we know that since it's 2017, Pastor Brandon and Jenny are getting ready to celebrate their 10th anniversary. And so we'll make sure you say nice things to them and congratulate them, because that's an awesome thing to celebrate. Jenny and I were also at a wedding on 7-7-07. I guess that was a time to get married. And I'm guessing that our experience was probably totally different than Brandon and Jenny's experience. Let me tell you the story. Is that okay? Well, we had, right after college, we did youth ministry in Covington, Indiana. And there was one girl there who was just an outstanding person. And after we left and went to Frankfurt, she ended up getting engaged. And when as she was getting married, she asked our daughter to be the flower girl. Now, our oldest daughter, Vila, was only about 18 months at the time. And we were very nervous about having a one that age be a flower girl in a wedding. And we just loved this girl, Ashley, and didn't want to do anything bad to her wedding. But because we loved her so much, we said, we'll try. We don't know how she'll do. And it was a really interesting on July the 6th, the night before, it was the rehearsal night. And rehearsal was fascinating. Ashley was marrying this farmer. And so they had the ring bearer driving a little toy tractor. And it was pulling a manure spreader. And instead of spreading manure, it was to spread the flower petals. They knew our daughter wouldn't be able to throw the flower petals. So it was fun. This little ring bearer was driving a little tractor. And our daughter was just supposed to ride behind. And the manure spreader was going to spread the flower petals. And it was funny. But the rehearsal didn't go real well. We had no idea how cooperative the kids were going to be. And they asked us for the next day to come back and be there a couple hours early for the wedding so that we could take pictures. Now, Jenny and I had enough experience as parents to already know that our kids needed sleep and that would just overstimulate our daughter to be in a church for just a couple hours waiting and then hoping she'd perform. So we said, we can't do that because if we're there for too long, it's going to be a disaster for us. But we'll get there an hour early, and we'll be there in plenty of time, hour early, and we'll see how she does. But we just don't know. So everything was going pretty smoothly on 7-7-07 for us. We left right when we want to, which doesn't always happen. And we were on the way, and a couple miles away from the church building, we had a call on our cell phone, and it was the bride. The bride sounded really tense, and she's like, "Are you guys coming?" And I'm like, "Yeah, no problem. We're just a couple minutes away. All is well. We're going to be there, just like we said." And I hung up the phone, and I said, "Jenny, Ashley sounds really tense right now. I don't think she's handling the stress too well." So we pull in, and as we're pulling into the church, we had this feeling as we see the parking lot was full. And we were wondering why everybody was there an hour early. And we had this really bad feeling as we walked into the doors, and as we opened the door, we saw the bride getting ready to walk down the aisle. We were off by an hour. We had been staying with my parents in Illinois, and we got the time zones confused, and so instead of being there an hour early, we actually arrived right as the wedding was started. And we felt mortified. We just wanted to leave and escape. Have you ever been there where you just wanted to get away? You didn't want anybody to see your face, maybe because you were embarrassed and you just didn't want anybody to see how you were hurting or what you'd done. Or maybe you wanted to get away from somebody because they're getting on your nerves. We all have those times where we're just ready to quit. We want to get away from somebody and go. And today we're talking about love. This is our last message in Love Never Fails, where we've been looking at 1 Corinthians 13. So we're going to start with 1 Corinthians 13:6 that says, "Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth." We're not going to get real deep into this verse, and there are a couple different angles that commentators take this. We're going to take just an angle on this. And again, this is just kind of a limited perspective on this verse because there's a lot of things that could be said. But love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. The angle that we're going to take today is called Schadenfreude. Have you ever heard that word before? Schadenfreude. What language do you think that is? German. Schadenfreude. And what that means is it's taking delight in another person's pain. When somebody else fails, it's when we feel good about it. It makes us feel better. And I'm going to try to demonstrate Schadenfreude to you. You ready for this? What if I were to tell you that the Patriots were going to have a losing record this year? Tom Brady was going to have an awful year. He's going to throw more interceptions than touchdowns. They're going to fire Belichick, and it was just going to be a disaster this year for the Patriots. Now, I already had some clapping. I saw smiles. That is delighting in somebody else's pain. And Colts fans often feel that, don't they? When the Patriots lose, it's maybe even better than when the Colts win. But that is an example, and that's a lighthearted example of Schadenfreude. But it can be much darker. Whereas when something bad happens to someone, there's a part of us that maybe rejoices a bit. We could go to lots of examples, but you know them. You've seen them. And sometimes we probably even feel guilty about it. Why did I feel good when that bad thing happened? That person maybe who had something, I thought their life was perfect, and then it came out that they weren't, and I felt a little bit good about it. So that's the angle that we're going on love does not delight in evil, that we're not to delight when bad things happen to others. We need to be reminded of that. Even the wisdom literature in the Old Testament says it clearly from Proverbs 24:17. It says, "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles." I mean, I don't think it's talking about the Patriots, okay? So, but the more serious issues of life, sometimes we feel that. Maybe somebody we feel like is an enemy in some way, and they fall or they struggle. But Proverbs tells us not to be glad when they stumble or they fall. And Paul, in another place in the book of Romans, says it like this: "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn." So we're starting off with this perspective that in love, we don't rejoice when bad things happen. We don't delight in evil. Even if it's our enemy, we don't feel a delight, a pleasure when something bad happens to them. Love takes no pleasure in the downfall of others. Love doesn't take pleasure in the "I told you so's." Serves him right. And we need to be reminded of this because our human nature sometimes does. So that sets us up for what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be looking at four words. 1 Corinthians 13:7, because I think that it does the opposite of not delighting in evil of others. I think it does the complete opposite. So it says, "Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." Now, a couple weeks ago, we looked at four different enemies of love, and we encouraged people just to kind of pick one and go after that enemy and focus on that one enemy. We're doing the same today. I want to encourage you, maybe there'll be one of these particular words that seems like you just need to practice it. And I want to encourage you to go with the one. We try the one-point sermons, try to do just one thing, because if we try to do more than one thing, it defeats the purpose a lot of times. So, again, so you can ignore three of these words. Totally ignore them. Don't even worry about them. But just one of these. Maybe one of these will resonate. Maybe you'll feel God whispering. That's your word to practice and see if you can improve on that area. So we're starting with love always protects. Another translation says that love bears all things. And to look at that, we want to look at the Greek word for it here. It's stego, and what stego means, this word that we say bears all things or always protects, that means a roof or a covering. So when it says that love always protects, it's like love is covering somebody else from difficulty. Love always protects. Life is difficult. I think we can all acknowledge that life is difficult, and sometimes people are just getting pounded. And what love does is love looks to go and it always protects, especially when there's a person who's very vulnerable and we know it, somebody who's been marginalized in some way, somebody who's been picked on. Love always protects. looking out for those who are suffering. Love goes right there and looks to protect. Love always protects. That means when it's raining, love is willing to get wet. And it's not always, sometimes you're the one who gets wet when you're protecting another person. And it's painful and it's costly. But love always protects. Some people delight in our hard times, but there are those who do protect us. And love is always willing to protect. I was thinking this was going to throw biography into this as we move through these four words. Jenny and I had a conversation recently about Frankfurt and what that was like. And the first 6 years where we were there, it was pretty depressing. Felt like nothing good was happening, discouraged a lot of the times. And during those 6 years, before anything good ever seemed to happen, there was one person in the congregation who I felt like was safe for. And I'll tell you, and his name's Paul. And I could go to him no matter what was happening, and I could say, Paul, I'm struggling with this. And having that one safe person, what I knew without Paul, there I couldn't have stayed because I needed a safe person, and Paul was that person for me. And even as I was writing this message, Paul and I are still in contact and still meet some, and I'd sent him a message last week, and he texted me while I was writing this and said, hey, let's meet next week and meet someplace halfway. So Paul even still is willing to protect. But to have somebody like that, if you have a Paul in your life, isn't it incredible to have that safe person? That person where you can just let everything hang out and tell him the truth. And you know that that person is going to protect you. You know that person has your best interests in mind. Not everybody's like that. And that's why we need some people like that. So maybe love always protects is going to be your word today. And maybe the way that you apply it is to find that person or to be thankful for that person who's protected you and to be more intentional about that relationship because we need to be protected. We need people in our lives who always protect, and we know no matter what happens, when the rain's pouring down, they're going to be there as a cover for us. Or maybe the way that you're going to apply that is to look to somebody else who's hurting and say, how can I protect that person? How can, when the rain is pouring, how can I be that roof? How can I stand over them and let some of the rain hit me instead of just them? So maybe that's your word. We're going to move on to the next word. Love always trusts. Love always trusts. Now, this one is an interesting. Another one says, love believes all things. You know, I've had a few emails from this Nigerian prince, and he's trying to move his money around, and he said if he can just take my bank account numbers so he can move his money around and use my bank, he's gonna put a couple $1 million in my bank account if I help him. Does that sound like something I should do? Or I've seen on my Facebook feed every now and then, I see that Mark Zuckerberg is willing to give away millions and millions of dollars. And all I need to do is repost it and tag my friends, and Mark Zuckerberg is going to be pouring out his money to all those users on Facebook so that we can profit from this. Hoaxes are everywhere, aren't they? Everywhere there's scams and schemes, and this is not about being vulnerable. This is not about just being gullible and letting everybody do whatever they want. What does it mean that love always trusts or believes all things? I think one of the things that can happen in this world where we have so many scams, we can grow cynical, we can be suspicious of everybody and wonder what the ulterior motive is, and we can be pretty cynical and suspicious. And of people, and we look at them, and instead of looking to even believe the best about people, sometimes we can look at people and wonder what their angle is, wonder what's wrong with them, wonder what they're really thinking. Paul wrote here that love always trusts. It's looking for the best. And as Jenny and I were talking about that 6 years, and things started to turn around, and she asked me that question. The question was, what changed? What was the difference that how things were able to turn around. And my first answer was that we had some friends who believed in us, and they were willing to sacrifice, and they were willing to come and help us. They took some bullets from us. They were a cover too. They were a protector, but they believed in us so much that they took their time to come over and take care of the music. And that was the beginning. It later happened with Indiana Ministries. They said, "We believe in you. We're going to do whatever we can to support you." And then later, my parents, they were the last difference maker that really turned things, driving an hour and a half from Illinois to come and just serve people so that the people wouldn't be as mad at me. They could see that I'm just a person. I'm not a pastor that just needs to be criticized or whatever, that I'm actually a person that has nice parents. I'm somebody's kid. I'm somebody's grandkid. And my parents, every week, hour and a half one way, hour and a half the other, they were there for us. And so I said, the only thing that was different is nothing that we did. We just had some people who believed in us and who came and helped us. You ever had a person who believes in you? I mean, a lot of people have the gift of criticism. A lot of people can really find faults. It's not that unique of a skill. I'm sure you have your critics like we all do. But fewer people have the gift of being able to see what's right with a person. Fewer people have the gift of being able to believe in somebody and inspire them. So maybe this is your word. Always trust that you're going to be that person who believes in somebody else. Or maybe you need somebody desperately to believe in you. And you have that. You've kind of been around some person who just always conveys that they believe in you. And you're going to strengthen that relationship. You're going to take them out for coffee or for lunch, and you're going to invite them over and try to spend time for them. Or maybe it's someone that you see you can just pour out into and say, "I believe in you." And especially if they're going through a hard time, that's so valuable. Love always trusts. Love is hard and it's costly, but love always trusts. Okay, moving on to the next one. Love always hopes. This is about hope is a sense of anticipation or expectation. This can be difficult a lot of times because life is hard, isn't it? We receive disappointing news. Sometimes things happen that break our hearts. Sometimes just the world seems completely unfair. Sometimes it seems like our best efforts don't matter. They're all for nothing. And we're just beating our head up against the same wall as we try and we try and we try. But it says, Paul wrote, that love always hopes. Now, kind of switching to the word faith here, which I know is different, but I love what the author of Hebrews conveys in Hebrews 11:6. I think this conveys hope. It says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Faith believes that a reward is coming. Love always hopes, believes that there's going to be a payoff. Yeah, it's painful, but when we have truly love somebody else, we can hope and see what's best. I remember, again, a time in my life, and I was sitting in a Starbucks. I just finished working on a sermon, and I checked in my email, and I got this email, and it was a song from my dad and my mom by a group called the Sidewalk Prophets, who I heard were from Anderson University. Didn't know much about them. But then as I listened to this song, and there were words, "Be strong in the Lord, never give up hope, you're going to do great things, I already know, God's got his hand on you." And when I heard those words, it just conveyed so much hope. Like I could feel my parents' hope coming in me, like that they could see God doing something in me when I didn't have much hope myself. Faith believes that a reward is coming. Sort of as a side note on the Sidewalk Prophets, a couple of the guys were at Anderson University, and the lead singer was the guitar player for Joshua Mott in a band that he had, where Josh was the lead singer. So that's kind of a side note that's cool how that all worked out. But anyway, so love always hopes. Maybe this is your word today, and you want to find somebody who's hopeful. And maybe you're just surrounded by a lot of negativity and pessimism, and it brings you down. And you know somebody that's just really hopeful. and even believes good things are coming to your life. And you're going to spend more time with, you're going to reach out because you need those relationships with people who have hope, especially when you don't have hope, when hope just seems like it's not there. Things don't seem like they're going to get better. Or maybe you're going to be that one who decides you're going to have hope for another person. Even when they're down and they don't think things are going to get better, you're going to show them hope. You're going to tell them you believe in them, that you can see God doing something through them, and that God has plans for them, and you're going to convince somebody else. You're going to give the gift of hope, which is what all people need. We all need hope. So moving on. Love always perseveres. Another translation says, love endures all things. Again, let's face it, sometimes relationships are difficult. Sometimes life is hard, and it's hard to keep going. And anyone can love for a short time. Anyone can stay with a person when things are good. There's been lots of couples where the first few months or few years they were together, things were just great, and it just falls apart. But love always perseveres. It endures. It's not just something that's short-lived or feels good, but it lasts. Some people seem perfect from a distance, don't they? Maybe there's some celebrities you think, man, just if I could be around that person, they just seem to have it all together. My life would be so much better. Maybe you have some Facebook friends and you just think, man, if I could just be with somebody like that, life would be so much easier because they have it all together. Some people have it all together from a distance, but then we get to know them. And then we get to experience real life. Love always perseveres, the real kind of love. Everyone has faults. People can be disagreeable, moody, selfish, irritating. As parents, we know a lot of times our kids, we love them dearly, but there are some long days. The kids constantly need a drink or they need help, and we get more tired. It takes away freedom. One definition of love that I came across last week that I really like is, love is seeing the darkness in another person and defying the impulse to jump ship. You ever feel that way? Like, I just want to leave. I've had it with this person or those people. I just want to leave. I want to jump ship. I want to quit. But love always perseveres. Even when it wants to jump ship, love stays with it. It's denying that impulse to jump ship. We started off with the word, and the first word that Paul used for love was what? Love is, let's go back to the beginning. Love is, what's the first word? Patient. Love is patient. That word that is the first word that came to mind for Paul when he's talking about love. Patience and the word passion, they come from the same root word. And those words mean to suffer. When even the term passion, when we talk about the passion of Christ, it's about the suffering that Jesus did that was driven by love. Passion, sometimes we think of it as a feeling or excitement, but passion is suffering. Passion is what perseveres. Passion is what endures. Think of passion in a marathon. Is passion the first mile or the 26th mile? What shows passion? It's when you want to quit. It's when you want to give up. That's where passion is revealed. So love is patient. There's a willingness to suffer. It gets difficult. It's Father's Day, so I've thrown in some things about my parents today. I didn't get their permission either, sorry. But according to my seminary psychologist, there's a psychology guy in seminary, I have an unhealthy attachment to my father. Yeah, so I need to shrink. But anyway, this was based on this question. They kind of went to some leaps, I thought. But the question for me was, that they called into question, it said, my dad is seldom. I didn't know it, but I was supposed to say something negative about my dad to let people know my issues with my father. My answer was, my dad is seldom selfish. So because I'm not willing to criticize my father by saying what he really seldom does, I have an unhealthy attachment to my father. But thinking of that, my dad is seldom selfish. A lot of times we've seen those guys in our lives maybe who've just exuded selfless attitudes where they go without while others go with, where they've been willing to sacrifice. And when I was thinking about my dad, because that was true, that's how I felt about my dad, that he's not a selfish person, is, man, I bet my dad suffered a lot for us. I bet it was hard sometimes to be selfless. My dad is seldom selfish. Love suffers. Love is, and this is a word that was tough for me too this week. Love is a willingness to be inconvenienced. Let's face it, a lot of times relationships are inconvenient. A lot of times relationships are difficult, especially for guys like me who have to-do lists and task-oriented. It's inconvenient. It's suffering. But what if love is less about feeling good and more about a willingness to suffer? What if? Okay, so let's go to the application. We've done this, except for this last one. Love always perseveres. What can we? Maybe this is your word, and maybe you just need somebody who's going to put up with you, that you know is just going to be there and is going to suffer with you. Or maybe you're that person who's going to go and suffer with somebody else. They need somebody to persevere, to suffer, to be inconvenienced. Which one are you going to be? So, if your words always protect, again, find somebody. Either have somebody in your life who's going to protect you, or find somebody that you can protect. If it's always trust, have that person that believes in you and communicate with another that you believe in them. If your word is always hopes, find that person who can stay positive, who can be hopeful about you, and be that person for somebody else. If your word is always perseveres, embrace that being inconvenienced for someone else, and find that person who will persevere for you. And as we close, I want to share an illustration from a book called The Broken Way by Anne Voskamp. And she talked about being on a plane, and she's a Christian writer. She was sitting next to a Jewish rabbi, and they had this conversation. And midway through, the rabbi stopped her, and he said, "Why do you people say it's about having a strong belief in God? You may believe in God, but never forget, it's God who believes in you. He believes in you as a gift the world needs." What if that's true? What if God believes in you? What if love believes in you? What if all these words that we've been talking about today is God's attitude toward you, that He always wants to protect, that He always trusts and always hopes and believes in you and will always perseveres? What if that is true? Imagine if God's love is always protecting you even when you feel afraid, always trusting in you even when you don't believe in yourself, always hoping in you, even when you think the future looks bleak, and always persevering, even when you feel like giving up. What if that's God's posture toward you, and He's called you to be that gift to someone else? I think He has. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, life can be threatening. Thank you for your love that always protects. Sometimes we wonder if we have anything good to give. Thank you for your love that believes all things. Sometimes the future looks bleak. Thank you for your love that always hopes. Sometimes we want to quit. Thank you for your love that always perseveres. Sometimes it feels like we are failing. And thank you that love never fails. Thank you for your love for us that embraces inconveniences and suffering. When we are hurting or discouraged, help us not to quit. Help us to grow in our belief in the love of Jesus for us so that we can pour that love into someone else. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.